Shalom to all. Today's office about Basu Daf Nun. We are starting the last narrow line with the words Amar Rabba. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marsh Meir Sar Basu Yaakov Maisha Hernas Shalmas Shadavin Aliyah and Lilu Nishmas Marsh Rivka Basu Meir Zev Hernas Shalmas Shadavin Aliyah. Yesterday we had touched on the idea of Dina de Machus Adina, that the law of the land is the law, meaning even though it's secular law, we hold it up halachically. So Gemara tells us Amar Rabba, and according to Amar Gersas it's Amar Rava. Hani Talas Mili, the following three things: Ishtayli Ukvan Bar Nechemi Reish Galusa Mishmei De Shmuel. Ukvan Bar Nechemi, who is Reish Galusa, he told me the name of Shmuel. Number one, Dina de Machus Adina, that the law of the land is the law, and we're going to follow that halachically. And on to another one, which is really part of the same din, Varisusa de Parsai ad Memshnin. The occupancy of Persians is 40 years, which means in Persia, if a person wants to own a property, he has to be there for 40 years. And this has to do with something we mentioned previously, namely that a guy is not able to make a chazakah unless he has a shtar. Here we're going to follow the din of the Malchusa, that if the guy was there for 40 years, it's officially considered his, and he's allowed to sell it to a yid, even though he doesn't have a shtar proving that he owns it. And lastly, Vahani Zarue, Dezavin Arlat. These wealthy people that bought land because of the property tax, it's a valid purchase. And this refers to something we had previously. A person only owns their property if they pay the property tax on it. If not, it'll be taken away by the government, and then whoever does pay the tax, they're the new owners of it. It's considered like they bought it. That's what the Gemara just said. These aharure, these wealthy people, that they bought a property for the tax, which means they paid the tax on it, so it's 100% valid, and it's considered theirs. And that means that even if the original owner got some money, and he wants his property back, and is willing to repay the guy who paid the tax, tough luck, this is Dina de Malchusa, which we're going to uphold halachically, and the guy that had paid the tax, he gets to keep it. Now, just clarify this, behind Emilio Tosca, this only applies in regards to the property tax of all the karga, but in regards to a head tax, loy, this does not apply. My time away is that karga, the head tax, a karkav de gavri manach, it's on the person's head. In other words, the head tax is on every person to pay, and the tax collector is not allowed to take away property from the one who didn't pay it. And if he did, and then sold it to somebody else, it is not considered the buyer's halachically, and therefore the fellow whom the property was taken away from is allowed to go to the guy who bought it and take it back halachically, because here wouldn't apply Dina de Malchusa. However, if Hunan Brit Rishu Amar, he argues and says, Afilu Sari de Kada Mishtabdi Lakarga, even barley inside a pitcher is Meshubit for this head tax, which means every single object of value a person owns, even little barley kernels, are Meshubit to pay for this tax. And if they do not, the tax collector is allowed to take it away, and he's allowed to sell it to whomever he wants. And therefore, this fellow's purchase of the property, basically paying for this head tax, is a valid purchase, and the original owner is not allowed to take it away from him. Number of Hashivashi said, Armali Hunan Bar Nasan, Hunan Bar Nasan told me, Kashiba Meimar, that a Meimar had a problem with this memra of Rav Hunan Brej Yeshua. Imkane, if that's really so, meaning that all the person's possessions are Meshubid for this head tax, well then Batalta Yerusha's B'nai HaBachar. You're Mevato the whole concept of a firstborn inheriting. Davali Roy, it's considered Roy, Ve'en HaBachar Noitel B'Roy, Kibbe Mochsek. And a Bachar doesn't take from Roy like he does when it's Mochsek. Let's pause and explain this. We know that a Bachar gets Pishnaim. He gets double portion in the Yerusha, but that's only from what the father was Mochsek in. It was his 100%. Whereas Roy, potential, something that will eventually come that's not included. For example, after the father died, a loan that he had given someone was repaid. The Bechar does not get Pishnaim in that, because when the father had died, it was just Roy. It was potential that was going to come to him, but it wasn't his 100%. And then we can understand a Meimar's problem with Rav Hunan Brej Yeshua's din. If we're going to say that all the person's possessions are considered Meshubid, they're on lien to the government to pay the tax, then that means that when a father dies, his possessions really aren't his, they're Meshubid to the government. And therefore, his Bechar, his firstborn, won't be able to get double portion in any of it, because it's all considered Roy. And that's basically being Mevatel is din of Pishnayim. So Amar Ravashi responded to him, Ihachi, if that's what the problem is, Afilu Taskanami, you should have this issue even in regards to the land tax, not just regards to the head tax, also the land tax should cause this problem. And you seem to not have that issue, Elamas Lechalamemar, so what are you able to say? How could you solve it? Diyav Taska Umis. It must be referring to where the person had paid his property tax and then he died, so all of his properties are considered 100% his, and therefore his firstborn, his Bechar, would get Pishnayim. Hachanami, so Tovir, in regards to the cargo. Do you have cargo miss? It must be referring to where he had paid the head tax, then he died, so he doesn't have any shibudim to the government, he doesn't owe them any money, therefore stuff is considered mochsek, it's his, and his bechor will get pishnaim. And Amar Vashi continued saying, Amar Hunan Bar Nasan, Hunan Bar Nasan told me, Shaltunel Safri de Rava, I asked the seifrim, the scribes of Rava's Bezdin, Va'amrulin, they told me, Hilchuslak Rav Hunan Brej Rav Yeshua, the lacha is like Rav Hunan Brej Rav Yeshua, that all of a person's possessions are meshubit to pay for this head tax, and therefore, if the tax collector took it away because it wasn't paid and then sold them to somebody else, that new guy that bought it, it's his 100% halachically. Or now the Gemara says, Vallahi, that's really not true. Really, the halacha is not like the Seifrim Rav Rava. The only reason why they said this is because they want to establish what they were doing. They used to write shtaris, allowing this purchaser to keep this thing that he bought, which was confiscated because the tax wasn't paid, and they had to have some sort of source for it. So they said, oh, it's because we paskin like Rav Hunan Brej Rav Yeshua. But really, we don't paskin like him. Continue to talk about taxes that have to be paid. Vam Ravashi Rashi says, Pardacht Mesaye Masa. A pardacht, a good for nothing, a loafer, a guy who sits there twiddling his thumbs. He doesn't learn. He doesn't work. He's not engaged in any gainful activity. He still has to help the town people and he has to pay the taxes. It's basically referring to where there was a certain tax levied on a group of people of the town or the city or the region, and people covered his portion of the tax. So this fellow owes them for covering his part. And it's even though he doesn't make any money, nonetheless, he still would owe them for covering his portion of it. However, Hanimilius only is that Sultan Masa, if the people of the city, they saved him. For example, tax collectors were going door to door saying, okay, you owe this, you owe that. And then they came to this good for nothing fellow sitting twiddling his thumbs. And they said, okay, buddy, fork it over. You owe us money. And the people of the city defended him saying, come on, he doesn't have anything. He's poor. He doesn't work. He doesn't have a job. And because they intervened on his behalf, the tax collector said, fine, no big deal. But then they put that extra money on the people of the town. So then this guy owes the people of the town because they covered for him. Avalandiski, but if it came from the government itself, if the government or the officials, they themselves decided for whatever reason, you know, we're not going to make this guy pay the tax. So then Siyad Dishmayahi. It's Siyad Dishmaya. Hashem clearly helped him and had nothing to do with the intervention of the townspeople. And therefore, he would not owe them any money, even though they had to pay more due to the fact that he didn't have to pay. Now going back to discuss what we were talking about previously, the border of a field. A regular classic border of a field, or chatzav, which is a type of plant that Yeshua ben Nun used to delineate the different borders of people's properties in Eretz Yisrael. These are mafsik and the chasm of a ger. If we want to know what's considered a field of a ger, we want to know which field is his. And as we previously discussed, he had one field or multiple fields. So these things are considered an official boundary marker. Aval inyan pay of a tuma loy. But in regards to pay and tuma, we do not say that they're boundary markers. However, Kasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Biechanon, he quoted Biechanon saying, afilu pay of a tuma, even in regards to pay and tuma, it's considered a boundary marker. Then we clarify this. Pay amaihi, what's his din of pay that we're talking about? Dinan, we have a mishnah. Ve'il mafsik in lepeya, the following things are considered a hefsik for peya. We know the din of peya is a person has to leave the corner, the peya of their field for aniyim. And if a person has two fields, then he has to leave two separate corners. But if he has one large field, he only has to leave one corner. So the question is, when do we say it's considered one large field or that it's considered two separate fields because there's something that's a hefsik, that's a divider making it into two small ones? And so Mishnah tells us, hanachal, which either means a stream or just a total empty strip of land that's simply too rocky to be planted, that would be considered a hefsik, vashlulis, or a big puddle. A public road or a private road. Public roads are 16 amas wide. Private roads are dalet amas wide. A public pathway or a private pathway, which is able to be used, it's kavua, it's set both during the winter and during the summer. All these things are considered official hafsakai srpeya. It's considered like a boundary marker, if you will, and it divides this big field into two. And now there'd be a chiv of two peyas. Now, toma maihi, what's it then in regards to toma that we're talking about that would make a difference if it's one field or two fields? The answer is that none. We have a mesh that says, someone goes into a valley, which is basically a big area with a lot of fields, and he went there during the winter, but toma besa the plainness, and there's toma in a particular field. V'amar, and the guy says, I went into that area. I don't know if I actually went into that field that had the toma or not. So Rebbe Lezer says the guy is tar. Chacham say that he's tame. Rebbe Lezer says, safik bia tahar, safik maga toma, tame. A safik of bia, of whether or not he even came into that area, he's still tahar. Whereas if the only safik is whether or not he touched toma, so we're going to say he's tame. Let's explain this. There's a din regarding toma. Safik tame Rosh Hasharabim, tahar. If we have a safik, whether or not somebody became tame in Rosh Hasharabim, so we say he's tahar. But if we have that same safik in Rosh Hashayachid, we say that he's tame. Now during summer, after a field was harvested, it's open for people to walk through. But during the winter, as we had just said now, it's considered Rosh Hashayachid, and no one's allowed to walk through it so as not to damage the seeds that were planted. So that means that technically during the winter, since a field is considered Rosh Hashayachid, if a person walks through and he has a safik tuma, we're going to say that he's tame. But over here we have machlekes, and our main focus is Shitas Rebbe Lezer. He says that even though it's Yimayis HaGeshamim, so again it's considered Rosh Hashayachid, this fellow is going to be tahar. Why is that? Well, because we have a double safik. It's called a svek sveka. Safik number one is whether or not he even went into this field that had the tuma, and even if he did, we still have a safik whether or not he touched or was mahil over the mace. And the reason why that's relevant to our din is because this works only if it's considered two fields. But if this whole area is considered one field, because none of the boundary markers are considered official dividers, then he definitely went into one field, and then there's only one suffix, whether or not he became tame, and even according to Blazer, he'd be tame. Now we continue in Shitas Ravin. He had held that for all three, Nichse Ager, Peya, and Toma, these are considered borders, but even he has an exception. The Gemara tells us, Avol Shabbos, Loi. In regards to Shabbos, this is not considered a divider. However, Rav Amar Rava says, Afil in Shabbos, even in regards to Shabbos. Now what does that mean that it's a divider in regards to Shabbos? The time you have a Brisa. Now we know there's an Isra on Shabbos to be mighty from one Rosh to another. One's now allowed to take something from Rosh Hashayachit to Rosh Hashirabim, or vice versa. If he does, obviously he's either alive. Now there's a minimum amount that a person would be chayav for. In regards to food, that's a gregaris, a dried fig. If it's anything less than that, he wouldn't be chayav. So Brisa tells as follows, Shasrabim, a person takes half of a fig's worth of food out to the Shasrabim, Vinich, and he puts it down. Then he went back, and then he took out another half of a fig, so the two of them together should technically be a shear, and this was Behelem Echad, in one lapse of awareness, Chayev. He's Chayev for doing that. Because even though he did two halves, well, two halves equal a whole, and he did that all in one shot in Behelem Echad, so he's Chayev. However, B'shtei Olamos, it was in two lapses of awareness, it's considered like two separate actions, Potter, he's gonna be Potter, because each time he didn't bring out the full shear. Which Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbeinu says, Behelem Echad, even if he brought these two halves out with one lapse of awareness, there's still one more thing to be determined. Nun of Alma Alpha on top, Rishos Achas Chayev. If he brought them into one Rishos, so then he's Chayev. But Rishte Rishuyos, Potter. If he brought them into two separate Rishuyos, so then he's Potter. For example, let's say he was in his house, which is a Rishos Yachid, and then he brings it outside his front door, and let's say right there is Rishos Rabim, and he brought out one half, and then he went back inside and brought out another half out his front door. So that's into Rishos Achas. It's the same Rishos Rabim. But if he brought it to two different Rishuyos, for example, the first half was brought out his front door to that Rishos Rabim, and the second half was brought out his back door to a different Rishos Rabim, so then he's going to be Potter because there are two different domains of Chiyuv. V'amar Rabba, and Rabba further clarifies, Vushiash Chiyuv Chatas Beinayim, it has to be that if you want to say that he's Potter for bringing these two halves out into two separate Rishuyos, that they're divided by something that would create a Chiyuv Chatas. Like our example, they're divided by his house. His house is considered Rishos Yachid, and he's Chayiv Chatas if he brings from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabim and vice versa. So then he'd be Potter because he brought these two halves to two separate Rishuyos. Aval Karmelis, Loi. But if these two Rishos Rabims are only separated by a Karmelis, which is not a Rishos Yachid or Rishos Rabim, it's kind of an in-between area, so then he would not be Potter, and even though he brought it two separate Rishos Rabims, he's still going to be Chayiv, because there isn't enough of a division in between them. Now Abaye, Omar Abaye says, Afilu Karmelis, even if there's a Karmelis separating between them, he'd be Potter, Aval Pisla, Loi. But if there's just a block of wood, which is smaller than 4x4 Tvachim, then he wouldn't be Potter, because that's not considered enough of a division between these two Rishos Rabims. Whereas Rav Amarava says, Afilu Pisla, even if there's a little block of wood that's separating these two Rishos Rabims, he's still going to be Potter, and this is just like Rava's din that we had before, that Meitzar, a boundary, or Chatzva, this plant which is used as a boundary marker, those are considered divisions in regards to Shabbos, so his Pisla is considered a division in regards to Shabbos as well. Now, how do we see that Rava is consistent with his own Shita? Rava Latame, he's a Shita, so Dam Rava holds, Rishos Shabbos, Rishos Gittin Dami, that a Rishos in regards to Shabbos is just like a Rishos in regards to Gittin. What's this referring to? So we know that when a man wants to divorce his wife, he has to either physically hand her the get, or he has to place it in her Rishos. But let's say she doesn't have a Rishos, the husband could lend her his Rishos, and for the moment the Rishos could be considered hers, and therefore placing the get in that temporary Rishos of hers is enough to divorce her. So let's say the husband was makna her his chatzer, and he throws the get towards her, intending for it to land in the chatzer, but it lands on a pisla, on a little block of wood, which is standing in the chatzer. According to Rava, she's not divorced. Even though this block of wood is not really considered chashev, it's still not considered batal to the chatzer, it's not part of this courtyard, and therefore it's not considered like it landed in her Rishos. So we see the Rava's Lashitasai, that this little block of wood is considered like its own thing, it's separate from the chatzer, and by the same token, it makes sense that it would be a divider in between two different Rishos Rabims. Again, even though it's very small and seemingly not so chashuv, nonetheless, it's considered a proper mafsik. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this idea of borders. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.